This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League, and today a little bit of FA Cup as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Cristiano Ronaldo's hat-trick propels Manchester United's hopes for the top four. Tottenham's impressive run of form ends at the hands of Brighton. Arsenal's struggles continue at Southampton after a third consecutive defeat. After 10 years in charge at Turf Moor, Burnley part ways with Sean Dyche, and we assess the FA Cup semi-finals where Liverpool and Chelsea came away winners. All that and more in today's episode. All right, my friend, let's start at Old Trafford. A dull moment. No. Always stories coming out of that club and that stadium right now. Man United won the game 3-2.
Yeah.
Cristiano Ronaldo hat-trick again after just a few weeks after the one against Spurs. Stunning from him. What are we thinking, my friend? Top four back on again for Man United?
They have a chance. They have a chance, Rob, if Ronaldo keeps scoring. They keep him fit. He stays in the team. Outside of that, it was an average Manchester United performance. And yes, I get that there's no Fred, no McTominay, Matic. Obviously, it said that he wasn't playing, so defensive midfield players was a problem. There was no Rafael Varane at the back, no Luke Shaw. So we can start saying these players missing, and I do get that. But again, against the bottom team in the league, it was a struggle, mate. And take CR7 in the moments out, and we'll talk about the great man, but take those moments, those goals out, and it would have been a struggle.
Yeah. And I think, you know, part of the discussion with Ronaldo going forward with a new manager, looks like it's going to be Erik ten Hag. Just Ronaldo's influence on others. There was a nice clip, Rob, and this is kind of bigger picture stuff, I suppose, but there was a nice clip of Ronaldo talking to the younger players. Alango was certainly one of them.
Sancho.
And that's great to see. But is his dominance, right, and his influence, and of course there's no question he is an incredible player, and the numbers that he's got, like it's his 50th hat-trick in club football, is crazy, ridiculously amazing stat. But let me throw it in a different direction. Does that overshadow some of the other players, Rob? You know, we can make comparisons with the Liverpool kind of forwards that we maybe make a little later in the show about their goals from different areas. Does Ronaldo's presence in the side mean that things really do funnel towards him at all times? Is that a detriment to others?
I've got to be honest, Rob, now we're on the podcast, so we're in slightly different mode, slightly different mood. I'm tired and bored with that argument because I don't get it. I think we've all seen, most people our listeners and viewers would have, was it The Last Dance with Michael Jordan? Where you saw what a great sportsman does, goes through, acts like, challenges, teammates, people for excellence. If Manchester United want to get back to where they want to be, excellence is part of it. Cristiano Ronaldo could be part of that excellence for a year or two. Well, if not, Rob, my kind of thought is, should we dumb it down then? Should we not? Let's not have Ronaldo because he's gonna put pressure on people. He's a big character. We've got to handle him. Let's dumb it down a little bit. Let's not be so demanding of ourselves. A, I don't like that. B, that shouldn't be what Manchester United are about. Yes, I guess there's times and part of the game that Cristiano Ronaldo will not be able to do now. But let me tell you what he does do. He puts the ball in the back of the net, the hardest thing to do of any position on the pitch.
So what you're saying is, and I think it's a great answer, he shouldn't have overshadowed anybody.
Correct.
Step up.
Correct.
Be your own man. Be that good that it doesn't matter what he's doing, or if he continues to score goals, great. But sort your own game out.
Correct.
And be less influenced by him then.
Correct. Don't be so, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. There's one player, and again, I don't know what's going on in his life, and I don't know all the circumstances, but Marcus Rashford, Robin Musto, I saw him, he came on a sub in this game. Looks like his confidence is shot.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, game whatsoever, but he needs to take a look at Ronaldo, get close to him, understand what makes him harder and determined and hungry for every game. 50 hat-tricks this guy scored.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's an incredible number. Remember the time we had a bit of a different of opinion when Rashford allowed somebody to take a penalty? And I was saying, well, he's just that kind of guy. And you were saying, no, he's centre-forward. And, and you can't imagine Cristiano Ronaldo being on two goals, ever saying to somebody, oh, you have this penalty.
We had a little discussion today on Air Rob about it, the new manager that's likely to be Erik ten Hag, and whether he will want in part of his immediate future. Of course, he won't be part of anything probably more than 1 year, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Or whether he wouldn't. And there's various reports out there saying that he doesn't see Cristiano Ronaldo being part of his immediate future.
Yeah.
Given what we've seen and given what he can do and given his mentality and given the way that he will help the younger players, would that be a mistake?
Absolutely, for me, Rob. I mean, big mistake. Big mistake. To have Cristiano Ronaldo as part of you coming into a football club that you can kind of know that bit's, you know, okay, I'm going to have to accommodate parts of his game, but he's going to finish, he's going to drive. He might not play every game. I'll build a relationship. I'm now manager. Ten Hag is now manager of Manchester United.
Right.
Manchester United is going to be successful. There's going to be big players coming in that football club who I'm going to have to handle. Their personality, their little indiscretions, their different ways of playing. I've got to be a big enough man to do that.
And maybe he feels, not that he's not a big enough man, but that's a challenging scenario that he maybe doesn't really want.
Day one, maybe he doesn't want that.
And like you said, it's a huge jump up in terms of expectations of the club that he's at. He's done good work wherever he's been.
Correct.
So this guy's potential upside is anything you want to see. Because we haven't seen him yet at this kind of level.
No, we don't
So
know.
That's really interesting. It's just whether he... Yeah, if you've got the confidence as a big-time manager, whether you're super famous or not, you've got to be able to handle that and say, you know, yeah, Ronaldo, nice to meet you. Like, brilliant. But there'll be sometimes you're going to be sat on the bench.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. And he's got to... The sole key frustrated Ronaldo, is it something that he's got every right to feel like, do we want that influence, Rob? Do you know what I mean?
He could, Rob, but it's a really interesting point. And I would say to you, I'd chuck a name out to you. If Pochettino came in, would he be able? Because you could argue he's not had one of those big superstars. I mean, yes, at PSG.
Now, PSG.
But before that, he hadn't. And the one thing I think we've always felt, and I'll speak for myself and speak for us both, is a quality coach, a good communicator, and a good man manager ticks the boxes for big-time players. They'll test you, Rob, but they'll test you. Are you a good coach? Do you know what you're talking about?
The top players will,
top players.
Particularly him.
Because he's
his
been
name
round.
He's not done anything at the very
But high. I think he can. I think he could get Ronaldo on his side, Rob, if he's that guy. I think Ronaldo would enjoy working with that
if
guy.
If he's that guy, meaning how he starts the job
Correct.
And how his sessions look and
Correct.
How he kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fascinating one that we'll see how it develops.
Mm.
Another fascinating one, Rob, that we saw, and I don't know whether we've gone straight to the superstar players here, but it's certainly newsy. Paul Pogba,
Made
in the
headlines.
Game, was that guy, the holding central midfield player that you need to defensively help and to protect a little bit. We saw Norwich cut through United so many times with two or three passes.
Mm.
And then we saw the little bit of stick that he got at the end, walking off, got subbed out of the game, which seems to be happening a lot now. And then there was a little cup of the ear to sort of like mock some of the criticisms. He's finished, isn't it, Manchester United? I mean, we know his contract's up and the club allowed it to run, so he's going to go for free, which again, like for me...
Business-wise.
Wow, like, you know, is incredible given the money they spent.
Yeah.
There's no way back?
I think not now. I kind of feel with that position where sometimes it's better for two parties to go separate ways.
Mm.
I kind of feel we're at that Aubameyang and Arsenal stage where it's not going to, there's no future. And Aubameyang's gone on and done reasonably well, and Arsenal have done reasonably well. I just think the biggest disappointment for Manchester United fans is we've seen Pogba in the black and white of Juventus be a champion. We've seen Pogba in the blue of France be a champion. We've never really seen the best of Paul Pogba. Now, there's more the club should have done and have handled it better, but there's certainly more that Paul Pogba should have done to get more out of himself, Rob.
Yeah, and to demand from others, to set to lead by example, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'm pretty sure he's going elsewhere. Just finally on Manchester United, Rob, this top four situation. Mm. Now, if you feel that they've got momentum, that they've got the will to do it, they're absolutely still in the race. I just don't think they've got it in them to finish the job and finish in the top four. Well, everybody is floundering around that part of the league. I just don't see it in their performance that they can do it.
I think the word malaise might be the word. There's a real feeling around this football club, Rob, of almost. I was doing some notes at the weekend. It's almost like United can't wait for the season to end.
Totally.
Can't wait for the season.
A new manager,
I see Ralph Rangnick, who's having to stand in front of the press and try and legitimate what he's doing and why things are happening, and he's not really sure of things. It looks like sometimes on the playing field, he's players not really committed, not really sure what's going on. It just feels a bit of a mess, Rob. A real mess that needs a sort out. And Ten Hag needs time. He's going to need good players.
He's going to have to, Rob.
And I did a little one of my... Let me get my red pen out and look through this squad, this team. There ain't many definite starters in my Manchester United best 11.
As we saw, and talk about the time that he's going to get the new manager.
Yeah.
There's still going to need to be signs of improvement, of development, because Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool at the very beginning, correct, it wasn't all brilliant to start with, but throughout, you always got a sense of the performances, the way they're playing, the way he spoke, that it was tough, but it was moving in the right direction. Yeah. Erik ten Hag, I'm not saying he's got to hit the ground running, but there's got to be a sense of, oh, okay, tough decision done. Yeah, get it. Mm. All right, the team, you've got to see signs, because if you don't see signs, there's not sign of development in the first few months, season, and then into the second season.
Mm. It'll turn again, won't it?
It could turn, can't it?
We'll be in the same situation.
So there's got to be signs of, wow, this guy is... he's the right guy. He deserves the time to get it really right.
And to your big line, recruitment, Rob. Recruitment's going to be key.
Well, that's the biggest.
Recruitment's going to be key. Yeah, Jurgen Klopp decided the way he was going, and you get your Van Dijks, and he got his Alissons, he got his pieces in a jigsaw, and we saw it come together. Recruitment.
It's more important than the head coach.
Yeah.
It's more important than the head coach position, and that's where maybe they're still talking. Who's going to decide? John Murta? Director of football of the club, and Darren Fletcher, and the chief scout, I can't remember his name now, and Graham Arnold, or is it, how much influence is Ten Hag going to have? Yeah. And that's why we both preferred Pochettino, because given the director of football and the recruitment side at the club, we would have more influence and more pressure to bring in players that might do it. So that will continue to be my concern, whoever's manager. But again, we've got plenty of time to talk about that when it all finally goes through.
Little word on Norwich, who I thought had a go, and at one point got back to 2-2, and it was a great save from De Gea on Rashid, who made a shot down to it. It could have been very different, but just get a sense of they're running out of time now. They've had a good go. Tamer Pukki, 10 Premier League goals again, continues to show that you can find goals in a team that struggled. But United, courtesy of the great man, 50 club hat trick, 60 including internationals. I mean, incredible numbers. Saves United again and gets them the 3 points. Should we move it on to the other teams in the top four
in
race?
Area, yep.
Tottenham Hotspur, they were the early kickoff against Brighton. And I think we both did our homework, both saw Tottenham last week at Aston Villa live. We were there in the stadium. I was commentating on the game, you were pit side. So we saw all that was going on. We saw a Spurs team that was resilient. It stood up to the physicality, played brilliant football, a front three to die for at the moment. And then we saw Tottenham at home, Rob, against a Brighton team that looks ready-made for... going to have lots of possession, we'll turn them over, we'll hit them on the counter-attack, this could be 3-0. Never really got going.
Well, this is how football... It's just so unpredictable. Mm. I mean, the whole operation at Villa Park, Rob, we were there to see it, we saw it, the whole warm-up and the coaches, we'd laughed about how many coaches there was, like a zillion coaches. And the whole thing looked super impressive. You watch them play. They had some tough moments in the first half. But then they come through that and they look superb going forward and banging in the goals. I mean, they've had all week to prepare again. And he's talked about when we have time to prepare, we're at our best. It was a slow, sluggish, tired performance that I think, you know, we talked about in the studio, Rob, at halftime. Well, it kind of sometimes this is how it goes with it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
he's very
yeah.
super, knowing that the game's going to open up and they'll find their spaces. Well, it never really did open up, not to the degree that they expected. Of course, a ton of credit goes towards Brighton, the way that they played football, and they kept it away from Spurs, which I expected to a certain point. But at some point, come on, Spurs, get engaged, get fired up, and get win a few balls and get those front players going. They never did that. I'm just so, I think the most disappointing performance of the weekend, really, given the expectations, given the league table right now, given that they're favourites to finish fourth, and they go and do that where they lose at home to a late goal to Brighton and Hove Albion. I mean,
it was, and I think it was as big a shock to Conte as it was to us, because all week, Rob, I've been reading reports where this is starting to look like the team. This is the mentality,
that goes
along with strong teams. So I'm reading all those things, and he must be thinking that box is ticked now. I kind of know where we are. And then Spurs, I said it's that Spurs gene that triggers in, and somehow just don't seem to be at it, just don't seem to have that drive. And, you know, Eric Dyer came out after the game and said we started slowly, we couldn't really get going, didn't really create many chances. I mean, I just wonder how that manifests itself with a team that can be so good, we've seen can be so resilient, and is on a flow at the moment. Four straight wins.
There's only one explanation, and there's still players within that team that aren't good enough to be consistently at the level that's required to win and to get towards the top of the league table. We know the manager is.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things around that club that's absolutely geared for it. And Eric Dyer, I just wrote his name down before you started talking there. I mean, superb professional, brilliant career, international player. I see, again, being there is so great to be there. And I can see what he gives with his passing and his long balls and the little dinks in behind. Really, really good. But he's not a great defender. And the goal was an indication of that. It's Trossard that goes to shoot. He fakes inside. Dyer gives it a little bit of one of them, and he goes around the outside or the outside of him and scores there. So I still think there's two or three that's in this side that could be improved. But it's such a disappointing performance. Now, what didn't surprise me, and is my this weekend's underappreciated performer, Leandro Trossard. And I had to ask our producer Jorge whether I'd had him before, because I'm a big fan of Trossard. And I've seen him. We watched him last year. Mm. I mean, he's a real creative, special player, and I think could settle into many clubs that are higher than Brighton in the league table. The way he took his goal, he's just a box of tricks, skillful, creative. Took his goal really well, and he's one of the players. And this again, we say it a lot. Why we do this is to try and pick out people that listen to the podcast or watching on YouTube as a player. Just watch him. Because he's better than people think, and was a difference. I mean, a good time to highlight him when he scores the winning goal against a team that's wanting to finish in the top four. So Trossard, underestimated player, had a great game.
It's a great shout as well, because I think he's almost the epitome of a Graham Potter player who, you know, could go in a bigger team and hold their own.
Good.
Technically good, tactically good, Belgian international, can find a goal, maybe get a goal or two more. Can assist and things, plays a number of positions, can play wide, can play midfield, can play forward. Yeah, it's a really good shout, Leandro Trossard, getting the winning goal for against Spurs to give Brighton the lead. So, Tottenham lose early game, which means we then had the Manchester United game, seen CR7 and Cristiano Ronaldo do the thing for them. It also put a bit of pressure or made an opportunity for Arsenal. Away at Southampton, two straight defeats. Things not quite going to plan. There were a couple of injuries to a couple of key players and positions that was hurting them. But it was a youngish Arsenal team, Rob. I know it's young, isn't it? It's a young squad, but it was younger.
But it was younger.
With one or two of the players, Partey and Tierney in particular, out. I know you had an eye on this game. And Southampton 1, Arsenal 0. Have Arsenal just regressed a bit?
Well, I know whether. I mean, I think that the results would say they've regressed. I think that's the right word. They've fallen away a little bit. Mm. They've just run out of steam. But I mean, there's injured players that we know about. The two, of course. I mean, Kieran Tierney at left back.
Yeah.
They've made changes. Xhaka's played there, changes the midfield, and Thomas Partey in midfield again, yeah. another key player. But that's only two. And Lacazette, of course, has missed as well. So three of your regulars for this particular game. But games before that, Lacazette's been there. So I think the main thing is the squad, isn't it? We know that he stripped it right back down to bare bones with the young players and got rid of so many as where he knew he might be short in the squad. That's happened. But the results have still been good. Let's not pick and choose the time to praise and to criticise. But it's been a bit of a drop-off. And I think, you know, the squad will be addressed in the summer. I feel now that the ownership...
It was taught, wasn't it? Kroenke's going to allow a bit of money so he can go and buy two or three quality players.
Because it looks like, you know, the core, the foundation is pretty good. So a little bit of quality in the market is going to, you know, is going to be very interesting for Arsenal. Now, whether they can go again for the Premier League now, I don't know. But it was just frustrating. I mean, they were so all over, particularly second half of Southampton, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
And Southampton from 1 week of losing 6-0 at home, same stadium. Pretty much the same team. I think it was a few changes. Actually, it was four changes to the side. I did the lineup. And yet they can dig in, roll the sleeves up and show tremendous defensive unity to keep out Arsenal, where if they concede a few early ones, it can get away from them pretty quickly. So Southampton, of course, credit to them. Well done. Jan Bednarek with a scrappy goal, but a second phase set piece, sweeps the ball in and then defended really, really well. Fraser Forster was pretty epic in goal as well.
Fraser Forster. Just one point in this that Nketiah played up front, Rob, and there's a certain section of people and many football watchers who saw him, I think it was on Leeds at loan, seen him score goals for Arsenal, and have been asking, like, why doesn't he play more? He could be the answer to Arsenal's problems. I'll talk for myself, I've never been sure he's quite at that very top level. Of where we're talking about to lead the line for Arsenal. Just talk to us a little bit about, you know, what he gave and why they might have to go out and spend money for a different quality. Because I think it's hard sometimes for people to understand, like, what the levels of playing a centre-forward in Premier League is all about.
Well, he's 22 years of age, did very well in the Championship. The times I've seen them in the first team for Arsenal is okay. And there was flashes where it's okay. But in my opinion, he's 22, so he can come again.
Yeah.
I just don't think he shows enough to be effective at the level that Arsenal are. And that's, I'm trying to be as nice as I can to Eddie Nketiah, because that's a very difficult level to get at. I didn't play at Birmingham. Yeah. I couldn't play at Arsenal level.
Yeah.
I just feel that it's a bit of a stretch for him to be the guy. Now, whether he wants to stay there and come on and learn and develop over the next couple of years under... whether it's Lacazette, whether they bring somebody else in.
But if it's Saka and an Odegaard, some people will say, well, Nketiah can. And it's not a given, is it? Those are special talents.
I think they're special talents. And I'd throw Martinelli in as well at that. Yeah. Emile Smith-Rowe, who's having a bit of a drop for him. Started the game, got dropped out of this one. I just don't think he's there. He wouldn't be in that category for me.
Yeah,
he'd just be a little bit short of that, which means he's got to be patient for first-team opportunities or go out on loan again.
Contract's coming up, I think, as well.
His contract's up in the summer as well, isn't it? Yeah. So they're obviously not sure about him. If a 22-year-old striker at Arsenal is playing Premier League football, his contract's allowed to run to the last few months, then that...
There's a reason for that.
Yeah. So they're not sure whether he can perform and be effective at this club at this level. So, I mean, in the summer, watch his space. You know, they try to get the ball
that
went to Juventus.
That's going to be big money, though, isn't it? You don't get those
big
cheap
money or smart money.
Or smart money, yeah.
Really smart recruitment somewhere, and they've done a pretty good job so far.
I saw this boy Nunes, I'm telling you, at Benfica.
Yeah.
22 years, played against Liverpool this week.
Yeah, there's rumours about
good
interesting
player,
him.
I'm telling you. Mm. Good player. Okay, four defeats for Arsenal. Yeah, three defeats, for Arsenal on the bounce. It just affects their chances, but they're still in there, still fighting. What are they, sixth in the table, 3 points behind Tottenham?
So if we ruled out Man United, and we didn't rule out Tottenham.
No.
Arsenal, what we think
of the top four? My favourites are Spurs.
As we round up this top four chat.
Based on the man leading them. That's my only reason that I'll go Spurs. With a different manager, I might go, nah.
I mean, Arsenal's next few I wrote down in my notes here. Chelsea, Man United, who's that? West Ham, Leeds and Tottenham.
Mm.
I mean, that's tough for Arsenal, for Arsenal as well, to try and get the sort of points that you'd think would be required to finish that. I'm with you. I think Spurs will react from that. But are we going to go back to win one, lose one? Spurs? I don't know. It's obviously what makes the league fascinating this year. And none of these teams we've just talked about, obviously, they're not perfect and they've got issues.
And we have got a North London derby to look forward to that comes up later when both those teams go together, which could be huge.
Yeah.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Let's move it on, my friend, to one of the biggest stories. And I remember I was on a flight over. I got a text when I landed. Sean Dyche is sacked. I thought you were having a laugh. And there were some emojis being sent back and forth, back and forth. Go online, see Sean Dyche has been sacked on a Friday.
So go on then. So what was your reaction? Like, what was your immediate kind of like process?
My first reaction was... No, I thought it was a wind-up when I saw yours. Then when I read it, I thought, bust-up. The only way on a Friday that Sean Dyche...
Even if there had been a bust-up?
Yeah.
Even if there was a bust-up?
Yeah.
Well, for him to leave the club
to a
point...
A bust-up to the point where there was no coming back, where something's happened...
And that sort of bust-up, Rob, would be owner and manager.
Correct.
If you had a bust-up with your players...
Correct, yeah, you can get that.
All right.
Or you off this weekend, we'll talk about it.
You can kind of recover from that.
But I assumed owner and manager must have had some kind of bust-up.
And if they didn't have a bust-up, it was just a Alan Pace chairman or whatever he is.
Feeling, majority having owner, the water, reading the leaves in his tea,
just
whatever.
Just come out with a decision
said,
like, oh, we're going to do this.
Now, again, I know Alan Pace... Reasonably well, I wouldn't say we're close friends, but I know
You've
Alan Pace
him,
reasonably
yeah.
well. I spoke with him a number of times, spoke with him after it happened, Rob, and it was interesting. And to be totally honest, there seemed to be an undercurrent as though this wasn't as controversial around the football club, and that it wasn't totally universally seen as a shock in the dressing room.
And we've heard
backed up by David Ornstein, our Premier League insider, who gets across everything, who finds out, has got contacts and knows, came on air and said exactly the same thing, the same sentiments that Alan Pace had talked.
The dressing room had supported the move,
was more supportive of the move than people would think. So it wasn't like, this is Sean Dyche's gang and everybody's in. Almost like, okay, well, I get it, I understand it. And
so things must have deteriorated from the result.
I'm assuming from the result on
Sunday
when they lost 2-0 to Norwich.
Yeah.
And then they had the Monday in, and then you have all week Monday to Friday. You would think. So you would think if it was just based on that result, it would happen Tuesday, Wednesday latest.
Yeah.
So that gives us still 2-3 days. It seems to me that something is more
protracted during those few days.
Few days.
And does that mean as well, by the way, that it was unexpected on all sides. So succession, and like next guy, we got to find somebody.
Michael Jackson, the caretaker coach, said that on the Friday he gets a call from the owner saying, come in, I need to speak to you. Friday, he thinks he's doing his under-23s, and he's now in charge of the team going to West Ham at the London Stadium in a huge game.
Eight games
it's
left.
Important.
It's one of the eight.
Yeah.
And they've got an influx of a guy coming in that had no idea.
So the word from the Burnley end is that they've got eight games to save their season. They feel by making the change, it gives them a better chance, rightly or wrongly, that somebody will be installed within this week, and then it'll be seven games for the new person to have a go at keeping the team. And there is a game actually Thursday against Southampton, isn't it? So you're thinking, by Tuesday, Wednesday, you might think somebody's going to be in the seat.
I just don't know that there can be that much done differently with this squad. I mean, Mike Jackson today named a team that was a Sean Dyche team. I mean, it's the same. Everything was pretty much the same. Maybe a little bit more energy early on when we had around that game as well. This game's going on at the same time. But for somebody else to come in, you know, you normally expect a coach to come into a struggling side and shore up defensively and play more conservatively. But, but no, they don't need that. They need something because he could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I just don't know.
A little bit more free. I'm not sure if it's a little bit more freedom in the attacking third,
well,
maybe.
Well, that's a dangerous freedom.
About Vegas gets a goal today. You know, it's only his second goal. But I think it would be remiss of me, my friend, on this monumental occasion of underappreciated players, people in the game, to not mention and not give my underappreciated performance of the week to the Ginger Mourinho, the one and only, in him we trust, Sean Dyche.
So you're going to go down with Sean Dyche, you're going to stick with him all the way.
With Sean Dyche. Underappreciated performer in... You did some numbers, and we both looked at some numbers of his spend, his net spend per season.
$12.5 million.
I mean, it's peanuts. It's not a salary of a player.
It's half a player every summer.
To be in top half of the table, to get into Europe, to just keep this team in and around the Premier League, and it's almost sometimes, be careful what you wish for. Sheffield United might have said the same things, and we've seen teams like Aston Villa down for long times, and we've seen West Bromwich Albion and teams. And I just feel a little bit for Sean Dyche, what he's done, what he stood for, who he was. The Premier League's a poorer place without the humour, the honesty, the transparency, the realism, the something that's normal about Sean Dyche. Like, he could be your mate having a beer in the pub, yet he's managing a Premier League team. The league needs people like that.
Because he keeps people honest.
Correct.
The whole diving thing, the whole big team to get the decision.
He stands up for the smaller club.
Yeah.
You know, when Klopp and Pep are talking, he talks for the smaller club who hasn't got the big squad. He doesn't want all the five substitutes because it doesn't help us. We know it helps you.
The last thing I want to say, Rob, real quick on this, and it's kind of a bit of a general point. Mm. The managers that do great jobs at small clubs, at some point they get touted for bigger jobs, have to take that leap, no matter how painful it might seem. We've seen, and I'm going to say, Eddie Howe, incredible job at Bournemouth for a long period of time, and the longer it goes, at some point, the situation is going to get
one
you.
Year, don't,
and then you go down, and your stock is nowhere near the same. Now, fair play to Newcastle. For him, he's got the Newcastle job. Brilliant. Sean Dyche is another great example.
Good.
There was good shouts with Everton, other West Ham, Crystal Palace, others that he could have jumped, and he hasn't, and he's fallen the same way. It will get you at some point. And the other one that we talked earlier, Brighton,
Graham Potter.
Is at some point he going to have to kind of find a way to move up because Brighton's not a big budget and they play great football and they're a brilliant story, but maybe next year or the year after that, he's gonna fall victim of that circumstance,
success,
and his stock gets affected by that. It's just, I don't know, I thought about it a lot.
And you know, loyalty and that goes both ways, and you know, you have a bad time.
Good managers.
Yeah.
But the situation, it makes
maybe
it
there's
really
a time
hard to
you have to think about making that.
But they could have won today, by the way. Could have won it and they
could have lost it. Started well. Max Cornet misses a penalty after Vegault scored in that one. And then Suchek gets
still
the goal
a chance,
back.
Huh?
Still has a chance.
Do you think he's still got a chance staying up? Sorry.
Yeah, still got a chance staying up. Seven games. Interesting to see what happens over the next few days, Rob. That's going to be key, isn't it?
Who comes
in the door? Just a word as well to Ashley Westwood. We saw an injury, didn't we?
Terrible looking injury.
We're hoping things aren't too bad. He did go to hospital. We heard Michael Jackson say, and you know, fingers crossed that it's not too bad. Kind of scenes, obviously, we all don't like to see on a football pitch. Good luck to him, and we'll keep an eye on Burnley over the next few weeks. Southampton on Thursday, actually. So let's see how they go and who's in charge for that one. Mm. Let's move it now to Newcastle United, my friend, who feel good factor, winning home games at St James' Park,
five straight
wins,
fans
all behind him. Bruno Guimarães is flying. We saw him live and we were both impressed. We see him today. He's a good player. He's a standard bearer now of what Eddie Howe's trying to do. And you can feel this club coming together after all the problems, the Ashleys and the Steve Bruce and the demonstrations and all that. You start to see and feel what this football club can and could be.
They've had a lot of years under Mike Ashley. A lot of years of frustration, of wanting it to move in a better direction, the football to be more entertaining, and the Steve Bruce era was a painful one in some ways. And they're still a long way away. I remember last Friday when we were there, Rob, I did the game. It was like, they won, and it's great.
Yeah.
They didn't play particularly well. Eddie Howard said it's about results, not performance. Yeah. And today was better in that regard, but it's still, there's still a big upside in this football club.
Yeah.
And Bruno Guimarães is going to be an important part of that, a real talented midfield player. And some others at the club now will be. But, I mean, first off, of course, it's wonderful to see St. James's Park with that. They've got the flags out at the moment. They're all, you know, the feel-good factor is through the roof because relegation, real worry has gone away. They're fine now. Well, they're 37 points. They're going to be absolutely fine
14th
now.
In the table, 37 points. Brilliant job, by the way, Eddie Howe.
Yeah, really good job.
Brilliant job, mate.
Yeah, by being entertaining.
Doing it the way he's doing it.
Weeks back, we said, wow, they've got to play their way out of trouble. There aren't many
with
teams that have done that. There's not many
group.
Teams. I know. And the Newcastle fans always insisted,
yeah,
we can do better than
with
this.
The ball,
sure, Steve Bruce, we can do better football.
Steve didn't want the ball, did he? Steve Bruce was happy to let the opposition have the ball.
It's kind of that older mentality of really, really tight and let's grind away. Mm. And they'd stayed up.
Yeah.
And Rafa was kind of similar. Mm. So to see Eddie Howe do it in a different way, well done. Like well done. Smart guy, intelligent manager, and show me the money in the summer. Let's try and move this thing forward with some signings. We know they've got the money to do it. They've got to stay within the financial fair play parameters, whatever they are right now. Who knows? Certainly Premier League have a set of parameters, and let's see what they can do. But no, good for them. And Bruno, you know, he's...
They're going to love him up there, aren't they? They're going to love him up there.
They're going to love him because he's a genuine kid. I mean, he's so excited afterwards and he's so appreciative of being at the club.
A little kid.
I know, it was great, wasn't it?
Little quick line on last year as well, Rob, because I know you did this team and were saying how many changes you'd made from Europe. Yeah. You just get the sense, I mean, listen, they were in the game, certainly
they played
1-1 and played okay, but you do get the sense now all focus is on that Europa Conference League chance to get back into Europa. That's going to be the main thing, isn't it, for this team?
It is, because they're perfectly safe mid-table in the Premier League. I mean, it's almost not two teams, but it's not far off. 8 changes to the team that played on Thursday and got through against PSV, wasn't it? Yeah, away from home. Mm. And they still got plenty of good players. So Brendan Rodgers would be on here saying, well, don't disrespect the players I'm playing today. And he's right, because there's a very good set of experienced players for the most part. And they played well. I thought they looked a better side for big periods in the game. Yeah. They lost out. But that's the way it's going to be. Mm. And you can't really blame him, can you, if they want to get in the Europa League next season? You know, some of the other teams might, Rob. Some of the other teams might say, well, hang on a minute, Leicester, isn't there some rules about like playing weekend teams and all that?
Yeah,
but that's gone away a little bit over the last couple of seasons with the COVID situation. So, I thought they did okay. But, you know, the whole back four, Johnny Evans has been great coming back. Wesley Fofana, Ricardo Pereira scored against PSV, and Tim Cassagna, they were the back four, and it was a totally different one for this game. So,
you'll say when he's best players are back, they're certainly more competitive. Yeah. And
they've been back.
The Conference League of Europe is probably going to be the focus. Just a quick line on Watford and Brentford. Brentford getting a 2-1 victory on that one. Norgaard gets Brentford ahead in the first half, 1-0 up. Second half, Dennis gets a goal back. And Watford had a great chance. King hit the post and loses, puts it over the top with a minute late into the game. And then a free kick down the other end, and you know what's going to happen. Eriksen puts it in, Janssen heads it home, and what Brentford get the points. 3 straight wins for Brentford, Rob. They are now sitting 11th in the table.
Superb.
Magnificent
Superb.
First season
for
Thomas Frank in that group, and we know the ownership and the way they do business. It's a real kind of tick of the box of how you can come up and do it.
A well-run. Like
well-run.
Intelligently run, smart recruitment. Yeah. Bit momentum, the little stadium.
Yeah. No reliance on any one player or anyone. No. Anything. It's
Christian
good Eriksen, feel about
the
it,
Eriksen story.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant
Correct.
Story anyway.
Correct.
But kind of important for Brentford.
Yeah, his goals,
since he came, things like, because they were on a bad run and things picked
it's
up
quality
immediately.
Quality footballer, isn't he?
Quality
so
player.
Pleased to see him healthy and back on a football pitch.
At Delta, we know Mike in HC prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, HC is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Let's take the chat quickly, mate, to FA Cup. We had 2 FA Cup semi-finals this weekend.
We did.
On Saturday, we had, I assume, the big two, City, Liverpool, head-to-head. In the Cup, having seen them in the league 2-2 last weekend. Liverpool bossed this one, to be honest.
He did. I mean, Jurgen Klopp was very, very happy with their... Did he say the best?
Best first half he's had since he's been at Liverpool.
Right, yeah. I mean, changes to the lineups, Liverpool less so.
Yeah.
You leave out Edison, and we'll get to the goalkeeping situation possibly, and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
You know, that's a couple of big calls. Yeah. Now, we've talked many times about the strength of this squad, and it's a phenomenal squad of players. And that works 98% of the time, Rob, by rotating like they do, and they win games in the Premier League and in different competitions. Against Liverpool, they need to be at their... Liverpool right now are absolutely on fire. Yeah. Absolutely on fire, confident, momentum, everything going for them, winning everything. You see the fixtures, Rob, you're like, big week for Liverpool, big month for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, good result at City. They win FA Cup semi-final this game, Champions League final... through to the semi-final in that competition now against Villarreal. Great chance for Liverpool to get to another final. I mean, it's all happening for them. Absolutely all happening for them. So the point is, they're a powerful team and City have to be at their best, really. I mean, still saying that, I mean, it's still close. They came back, but Bernardo Silva's goal gave them hope late on. But again, it comes down to the Liverpool attacking players and little Thiago's dink for Sadio Mane to volley into the corner.
It's important Mane gets a couple of goals. Probably Salah. They're a Salah goal away from being really flying
in
now,
perfect,
aren't
they? In perfect fettle.
For this last bit of a running.
Yeah.
Just we touched on it, Rob, and I think I'd love to go in depth with our great Tim Howard. But it's that Stefan.
Yeah.
Manchester United number two goalkeeper. Manchester City, sorry, number two goalkeeper. But USA number one, we believe, possibly, ahead of World Cup coming up at the end of the year.
Yeah. Matt Turner's the other goalkeeper.
Matt Turner's
injured right now.
He's going to go Arsenal as number two. Does this make it an unhealthy situation for American football? You've got goalkeepers going to go in as number twos. Stefan today, Rob. With the error, and it was a really
yesterday,
poor error. Sorry, yesterday in the game that Mane nicks the ball off him. Just the whole how he played out. Does he maybe need to go and become a first team goalkeeper somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Absolutely. I mean, he's what I've seen of him. He's a big guy. Good shot stopper. Mm-hmm. Big presence in the goal.
Yeah.
Like a confident type of goalkeeper. But the whole playing out with your feet is where it's potential to embarrass you.
Edison
as a goalkeeper
is like the master.
I don't know whether he kind of watches him and tries to mimic and
trains with him and
and whether he tries to think that he can have the same coolness. But it wasn't even close to being almost saved by him. I don't mean like save, but like kick it out or oops. I mean he was in the middle of.
Like he didn't read the danger, did he? Didn't see Mane coming.
Yeah. Is it part of that rust, Rob, for not playing week in, week out?
Yeah. Apart from the match rhythm and understanding the pace and getting with it.
But if he could find a club in that Premier League, be the number one goalkeeper, on you go. Mm. I mean, Tim Howard, like when Tim goes into that World Cup with all the performances that he made and the Belgian performance. That's the goalkeeper that's flipping tip top condition, that's ready to go, that's in a peak of his career. That's seen it all, been there. You know, the US national team going into this World Cup.
Yeah,
who's the number? Who's going to be the goalkeeper? Who's going to be the number one goalkeeper?
Yeah, that's
so
a good story.
It was a really difficult day for Zach Steffen. We feel for him, but to come in at that football club, given what they've done in a semi-final at Wembley Stadium against Liverpool, and to be expected to be pretty immaculate, which kind of you are when
and
you're
playing
at this
that
level.
Very unique style that they
that
play.
That unique style where the ball's going to be shoved down your throat. Deal with that. It's an unfortunate moment. You've got to feel for him.
Yeah.
But absolutely, regular football, maybe particular for goalkeepers, Rob.
Can't just pick it up and end up. So we'll see how that one unfolds between now and the World Cup. The other semi-final was today, Chelsea, Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace filled the place with lots of fans and lots of anticipation. But it was Chelsea who came away with a victory in the end. Control and composure in the end sort of see them through.
Just had a bit more for them. Mm. And this is a game where the possession that they had was great.
Yeah.
But the goals came from turnovers again and pressurising. Yeah. Tariq Mitchell was one of them. Robles caught a left back. And there's so many goals. There's so much goodness that happens if you press high and win the ball back. It's so many times, and it's the way that Chelsea won this game. Conor Gallagher, of course, on loan to Palace from Chelsea, was a massive miss. And
it's such
and
a shame, isn't it,
Chelsea
for
said,
him?
Because they asked the question, weren't they? They could have let him play, and they said, no, sorry, like, He's our player. We don't want him potentially. I think that was a big blow, mate. Midfield.
Yeah. He's such energy, and he can run past the front man. He can make things happen. So you felt a little bit of Palace. And to be fair, they had a Kouyaté had a header at 0-0 that comes off his shoulder, and then Joachim Anderson has a header at 2-0 that 2-1 just might have made different. He just got the sense it wasn't quite going to be Palace's day, and disappointment for Patrick and his team, but should take a lot from the run. Should take a lot from the development of this football club. There's times, Rob, when they pass the ball, it's like this isn't the Palace we used to.
You said that earlier in the game, didn't you? Yeah. And the fans. I know it's disappointing. God, I've been there, blimmin. I've lost semi-finals. Yeah. I've lost cup finals in that stadium or the old version of that stadium, and it's devastating. But the fans have been to Wembley, Rob, to see their team almost get to an FA Cup final. And the excitement that brings, on top of the excitement of the new players and the new manager and the new style of football, it's been a blimmin' good season for Crystal Palace.
Something to look forward to, aren't
they? And let's hope that they can take it forward. Mm. Not often easy.
Yeah, yeah.
When the expectations levels totally
starts to go up. Yeah.
Conor Gallagher, keep talking about him because he's been such an important part of it. What he does next season. Mm. I've got to say, unlikely, Rob, to continue at Palace or not.
Well, there's a talk about him, going to Chelsea, but he's at the stage of his career, a bit like Stefan Rob in a different way. Yeah. He's ready to play. He's packed and ready to play. He's not ready for the bench. Yeah. He should look at Christian Pulisic and one or two of these, big-time players who are sitting on the side of Romelu Lukaku. Does he want that?
Is he better than Jorginho? Very different. Or Kovacic?
Different.
I know, very different. But is there a way? And
if Thomas Tuchel's side, manager wanted to...
It's a different style of Tuchel.
And I tell you what he would do now, though, is run past the centre forward and break things up and give you another different
option.
Which,
in some ways, is what they kind of what they need.
What they need. But it's a big call for a manager, isn't it, to take him in and drop a Jorginho or Kovacic for that role.
I mean, he probably wouldn't. I mean, similar-ish is Mason Mount. And I would want to finish on a quick line for him. He took his goal really well again. Classic. Whatever competition it is, Rob, whatever level it's at. I mean, he's a superb player, isn't he?
Class. And everything I hear about him, Rob, is he eats well, he sleeps well, he looks after himself. He's
Uber,
got a chef.
Uber professional.
He almost feels like he's a foreign international player that is dedicating himself to his career and great news. Listen, mate, we're just going to wrap it up quickly with a couple of big games coming up this week. Tuesday on USA, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Liverpool face Manchester United. Can't see beyond a Liverpool
win, but this is
the Premier League.
Yeah, I know it's Premier League, and who knows, and stuff that we think is locked in is absolutely not. I just think Anfield is going to be buzzing. Mm. And I know they've had a difficult game after a difficult game. They're doing great. I mean, Anfield will appreciate that. We know it's a huge rivalry, Liverpool versus Manchester United. They will demand that this team plays with high energy. Whoever plays, and that's, of course, the season... With the signings of Jota and Luis Diaz is the main difference. They've got a brilliant squad now in different positions. Ibrahima Konate is another example of...
come in.
I mean, talk about good recruitment. I mean,
it's incredible.
It's incredible, the recruitment they've had. I just don't... And we spoke earlier, we kind of differed a little bit.
Yeah.
You think there could
be
a
could
big...
I think there could be one 90-minute performance or 75-minute performance in United that they go, come on, today. We're not going to let them. For some United players, for some United fans, this is what...
Then let's be specific. Hmm. I'm not sure that the status of Fred and McTominay for this game. I know they've been out. I don't know whether they're going to be back for this game.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that? Who's going to say, come on then? Who's going to do that?
Well, I'd like to think Harry Maguire in his way will. In his way. I think Bruno Fernandes can get around.
Yeah.
I think Ronaldo can get around. Jadon Sancho.
In that midfield area.
Yeah. Yeah,
listen,
I'm with you. And I'm trying to make a bad argument for what would be... But things just don't happen. Like,
I
think that if there's one way that they could do it, it might be. So, I mean, interesting game.
Home win.
And on Wednesday, then we get a big London derby, Chelsea v Arsenal. Coverage starts 2 p.m. Eastern time on USA again.
Tougher one to predict, I'd say.
Yeah, what we've seen on that. Yeah. You must feel like Arsenal, I mean, I don't know in terms of fitness who's back. The top party is probably not going to be possibly for the rest of the season. Tierney, don't expect to see him back. So they're two key kind of physical people who have an influence on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a reaction from Arsenal. Now, I know we thought you could see it this weekend, and I just think centre forward. Chelsea are a little bit centre forward.
Yeah, centre forward.
Lacazette.
Yeah,
that COVID. Yeah. Is he going to, you know, yeah, who knows on his availability? Yeah. Might see Lukaku, Rob. We saw him in the, came on.
At some point. Almost feel you need to get him back, don't you?
At some point, could this be a Lukaku game? There's others, Ziyech and a few others that could start for Chelsea. Of course, it's tough to go against Chelsea at home. I like this Arsenal team. And I know the situation now. I know it's a bit of a struggle, a bit of a drop-off.
Yeah.
But what do you expect? Like,
it's a young group.
Inexperienced group. They're learning by every minute they're playing in the Premier League. And they could go there and do something. Yeah. They really could. But they need to be at their very, very best, Arsenal, to do that. Dare I say it could be a low... I mean, Chelsea, some of the slow football at times. Mm. Might not be many goals in it, but... Brilliant. I mean, it's a shame that it's not weekend, mate. We love the good games
we do.
Weekends here
Tuesday,
in the US,
Wednesdays, we've got a couple of big games. But all good to look forward to, mate. And as ever, another massive weekend in the Premier League when Dyche got the sack, although his Burnley team did get a point in the weekend when Ronaldo gets his 50th club hat-trick. Yes, 5-0 club hat-tricks. Liverpool and Chelsea, they'll be facing each other in the FA Cup final in May. We'll be back for our midweek podcast on Wednesday. That's April the 20th when we'll look back at those big games, Liverpool v Man United, Chelsea v Arsenal. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night. Good night.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.